Well, it can be, as long as you indulge the negative thinking, the conversation that goes on about something that you can't do anything about to resolve. There's no action that you can take. It's already done. Like when you were going through it with your house, how much depression did you experience over that? And there wasn't anything you could do at the time. You know, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, there isn't anything you can do. But your mind just kicks in and goes on and on and on. For me, I was going to do this video for this audition. I was up hours at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, wide awake, doing this whole presentation.
And you're saying that is when you're depressed, is when you have that mind going?
Yeah, because it was time to be sleeping and resting. And here my mind was running, giving this seminar to absolutely nobody. You know, and winding up being tired in the morning and exhausted and forgetting what I was really supposed to be doing. So when you get into the depression, your mind takes off, your emotions go with it, and your physical gets run down. You get really heavy. Sometimes you can hardly even move, and it can lead to illness and even suicide.
What is clinical depression?
You go to a clinic and you get depressed. Staying home.
No, there's an illness called depression that's physical, evidently.
It all starts from the mind. It's a loss. It's an imbalance between the physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. It's an imbalance between those aspects. And it can be financial, too, because our society is so ingrained in money and finances that if the circumstance called money isn't working out the way we think it should, then we go into depression. But mostly depression is reacting to the circumstance in a negative way. The circumstances are the circumstances. But how we react to them determines how we resolve the circumstance and how we experience our aliveness. It's as if the depression short-circuits the memory, short-circuits the brain, and goes into totally irrational, illogical conversations, combined with a loss of memory of what's really going on, which then produces the emotional response to the conversation, which generally is anger, frustration, rage, sadness, and grief. Then we question our relationship with God, and we blame God. God's punishing us. We blame ourselves. Our self-esteem goes down the drain. So if we can make a detachment between the circumstance and the way that we're responding to the circumstance. Just like when the tree fell on your house, your first response was gratitude that your family was alive, that they were safe. That was your first response. That kept you going until the circumstance started to take over, so to speak. You gave your power to the circumstance. Instead of keeping your power and continuing to deal with it, take action and make light of it and be grateful to God that the whole house wasn't destroyed and that you had insurance. You're not in bad shape. You're not in bad shape. Only you're inconvenienced. You're a bit inconvenienced because you can't take a shower and you have no hot water and you have to eat out some. But is that something to ruin your health over? Is that something to ruin your relationship over? See how irrational it is?
No, just as I said, I shared with Nancy earlier, I had some kind of a stand here about the two of us together. I remember the first time we left your house, I said to Nancy, there's going to be a tendency for both of us to pull off and try to handle things along here. We've got to really pull together.
The tendency is to survive.
Yeah.
To go into survival, to be in control, to make sure everything happens now.
Right.
Instead of being alive and allowing the circumstances to resolve themselves and work themselves out. Just like the insurance company now saying, well, they'll get the whole tree out of your yard instead of just half the tree out.
The other interesting thing about the lives is that in my feeling of helplessness and mistrust at that point. I'm talking to the workmen and people taking care of me, and I'm getting all this information over 2 and 3 days, and then suddenly I'm real enrolled that I don't trust any one of them with what they're giving to me. But then once I pulled myself back from that drama and started talking to them, I began to find out that they were reasonable people that wanted to see us win. But I didn't have them painted in that picture at all.
Yeah.
And I was very right about the wrong picture that I had them painted in. And it was interesting. When the guy came to the door tonight, I was like looking at him like, okay, this is where you tell him a big story. You know, where you just make it short and sweet. And I did make it short and sweet to him. I looked at him and said, we really need a favor. This is what we really need this thing to have happen. I said, okay, it's fine. And it didn't have to be. I didn't have to get out 9 war stories that would make him, you know, break into tears and give me a check.
Yeah.
And so he's in the picture sharing his 10-month-old baby with Nancy and our 8-month-old baby.
Mm-hmm. So you can start to see how depression is a behavior. Really, it's a behavior and how we deal with a circumstance or a set of circumstances. It's a way that we deal with a circumstance. Given that it's a way that we deal with the circumstances, we do have the power to change our mind, to change the way that we behave with the circumstance. Now, the way that we've been behaving with the circumstances has created a whole physical reaction in our body, whether it's to be really tired and exhausted, our shoulders droop, our face gets lines in it, we get bags under our eyes when we deal with it from a depressed state, from depression. That's one way of dealing with the circumstance. Another way is to make light of it, just like you started to do with your branch office and all of that. You started to make light of it. Then it lightens up everybody else.
I wanted to poo-poo the idea, but the workman, Brian, came down to me and said, I have never seen anyone. He said, it's circumstances in the mood you were in. He said, whatever you're on, I would like to be on that. And I couldn't explain to him, I'm happy because we're still here,
I think I also buy into, and I think I probably do in other positions, not just with this, but I think when people say, oh, you guys must be going through it, or you guys are right, or, you know, I buy into it. Maybe that's the love stuff.
And that's
I said, yeah, I know, this really does suck. Yeah. And I'm enrolled. That's what I'm doing.
That's the point. It's a behavior, and you can take it into the depths of depression, or you can keep it light and fun and alive.
Well, it even goes a step further there, Glenn. Some of this is solid on my part. Perceiving. You know, in the beginning, I'm trying to bolster the troops, have everybody be okay with what's going on. And somewhere there's a sellout in there in which what I perceive to be authentic behavior is to start sharing with them in such a way that we let them know that we were hurt a little bit by this set of circumstances.
Then you're starting to get to feed the negativity, to feel sorry for yourself, to start getting sympathy, getting other people to feel sorry for you. And it gets real. It starts to look real. It's irrational. It's not logical. But it starts to look real. You build your case so that you can feel the sadness or the anger or the frustration. It's all a racket.
See, Dick Gregory said a long time ago, it's interesting, get on a subway, and if you have a guy dressed in a clown suit on a subway, and he's juggling balls up in the air, and he's really happy, they arrest him for being a kook. The guy that's sitting there crying and in grief, they hold him as the one that's normal on there.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, so it's like I have a choice about which side am I going to be on.
Right. You go to a football game and here's all these people paying $30, $40, $50 for a ticket. They're yelling and screaming and having a great time. And then the ushers and the people who are working there are getting paid to be there are not having any fun. They're not enjoying themselves. The look on their face is like they wish they were home sitting on the couch or something. Mm-hmm. It's the same football game.
Yeah.
How are you going to respond to the circumstance? In overcoming depression, you have a choice. You can go into the depression. You can let it run. Your mind will take off. It'll have those conversations for hours. You'll get exhausted. You'll get tired. You'll get run down. But what is the benefit?
There's a really cute story that I know Mark Davis would be okay with me sharing. His brother called me yesterday, and I said, I've got tickets for $125 to go see the Stanley Cup playoff, the Rangers, which is Mark's great love. Mark sat there for a minute and said, no, I don't think we can do that. We're going on vacation this week. It's not right. So he came home last night and he told Roberta. Roberta said, are you crazy? That is the greatest love of your entire life. Why didn't you go? And then what ended up happening last night was the greatest Rangers game in the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. The guy came from behind, scored 3 goals, and the Rangers won. So Mark was sharing that with me, you know, about giving your power, you know, to the wrong thing instead of going for what he really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
All for $125.
Yep. So there, the depression, the circumstances, finances. Leads to depression. I can't afford it. Woe is me. Instead of, hey, I'm going to create the money and do this. Whatever this is. So we can change our mind. We can change our attitude. We can change the way that we deal with the circumstances going on. What are some of the ways that you can change from depression into aliveness?
I think the most important us to reach out to the people who are positive, like you and Barbara. That's the most important thing you first do is when you find yourself getting in that way. Reach out to the people that are not going to enroll you in going either further down or staying where you are.
Right. People that won't give you agreement?
Yeah.
Good. John?
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Sit down and write down what you're grateful for. You can't be depressed and grateful at the same time. But just the nature of gratitude brings you right into your heart. So you can make a grateful list. What else can you do? Take some positive action outside of your routine. Take some positive action that is different than your normal routine. Our normal routine feeds depression if we're depressed. If we've been depressed, then by being in that routine, it strengthens depression. And we get more and more and more depressed. Because the depression is linked with the action that we're doing. Say if we brush our teeth the same way every day, with the same hand every day, that's a routine. And if we're depressed and we're brushing our teeth that way, the next time we go to brush our teeth, the depression shows up again. So we start thinking and feeling and back into that whole scenario. Depression leads to more depression, leads to stronger depression. So it's not okay to indulge ourselves in that pity party or in that racket or way of being. So change your routine. What else?
I'm still thinking what we're saying, change the routine, because we were offered tickets to stay at the Taj Mahal at no charge.
Oh, by the way, Sheila's going to be competing.
That's right, so we could go down honey, and play with Sheila and we can have a good time, yes?
And have a hot shower.
And have a hot shower and see the ocean.
Absolutely.
At no cost.
Absolutely. Bye. Have fun.
The other thing you can do is take a course or read
enlightening, positive thinking, inspirational books and tapes will help to overcome depression, especially at night before you go to sleep.
See, I didn't know I was depressed. So there's my problem. And when I went to, I don't know I'm going to have these thoughts until I wake up and they're there.
Right.
So I could have read a book, but I wouldn't have known to. I thought I was doing real good. I did.
Well, that's where in your relationship you have to have the safety and the permission to tell each other. See, when I'm depressed, Barbara looks at me and she says, "What's going on with you?" Yeah, he doesn't have the safety to do that back with you. Well, so that's important that you start to give him that safety and that permission to interact with you that way, because it's devastating to your whole family when you do act out that depression. So what else? How else can you overcome depression?
I go for a walk.
You can go for a walk?
Yeah.
Exercise, workout. It's hard to be depressed when you're doing something physical, taking some physical action.
Yeah, because it's hard to work out when you're depressed. And really, I have every excuse why I can't work out when I'm doing.
Yeah, so depression will keep you from working out, and working out will keep you from being depressed. Could play. Have fun. Do something social. Another thing you can do is look at yourself in the mirror and start making faces at yourself. Because the depression has its way of holding your facial muscles. It has a way of holding your facial muscles. So every time you get depressed, your face goes into that same look. Everybody else around you can see it. You can't see it because you can't see yourself. You have to look in the mirror. And when you see it, start making faces at yourself. And the depression will lift. It gets to be funny.
I just had this mental picture of the quad I was getting up in the mirror. Absolutely.
Especially you, because yours is morning. Your depression comes in the morning. So you have to get out of the routine. You start making faces at yourself. And then you start talking in a weird, strange voice. Change your voice, your tone, your pitch, your level, your volume. And speak differently. Speak like a limey and see how depressed you can stay when you're being a limey.
You know, what's really funny about that, Glenn, is that when I break into that, that's when Jonathan starts smiling. He knows Dad's coming back. I start breaking into a different voice of saying.
Right. It gets out of that routine. See, there's a whole pattern of behavior that occurs as you go into the depression. It's a routine. It's kind of a habit now. Over and over and over, we've done it. Now it's time to break up that habit or that pattern and to start doing things differently. With a different voice, a different look on your face, a different routine.
You also taught us to serve others, which is a part of what was happening there, is calling others to see what kind of shape they were in to support them.
Absolutely. In the moment that you go into service, there's no more depression. In the moment you start serving others, there's no depression. If you're depressed, your attention is on you and the aspect of you that isn't working. It's the things that you don't want to happen, the things that you don't like, the things that you're afraid might not happen. That's what causes depression. When your mind starts off in that direction. If you manage your mind and you turn it back into faith, trust, hope, bring God present, surrender, the depression has to go. You go into gratitude then, instead of fear. There's a certainty that comes when you give it to God, when you surrender, when you let go of the depression.